We are up to the Kuv Dalet and Aleph Masechta Baba Kama. With two dots. Itma, we learned Shliach she'asu be'edim. A Shliach that you made with witnesses. You appointed a Shliach and you had two witnesses stand there and witness it. Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Chizda says, have a Shliach. We'll soon see what we're talking about is a valid Shliach. If you want to pay, if the leiva sends that shliach, if the malva sends a shliach, you can pay the shliach as if you pay the malva. And right, so Reuven owes money, and Shimon the lender sends a shliach, and he appointed them through Edim. As soon as he gives the money to the shliach, it's as if he paid Shimon, and the borrower is now exonerated. Rabba maloi have a shliach until the money actually arrives to the lender. It's not a shliach. And if anything happens in the way, he is liable, he has to repay again.
So how's that different than the machlokes we had of Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfon?
Sorry, what?
If it has to, come to his hands or not.
There was no way you have to go all the way to Mother to give him. We didn't get involved in the shliach. If the Gnigna would have sent the shliach down to pick it up, we don't know. They haven't gotten into it.
No, but the union of Magil Yodah.
Yeah, but if he would have sent the shliach. Would that have been good enough or not? So we haven't really talked about a shliach. But in the Mishnah it says you shouldn't give to a shliach. The Gemara will ask that question. And we'll say there's a different kind of shliach there, as we'll soon see. Here we're talking about a shliach appointed by Edim. This time, get it. Says the Gemara, the reason why he got Edim to witness that he's appointing a shliach, the leiko b'shusei, so that what? And the shliach represents the lender, and therefore the borrower pays the shliach to be paid back the lender, and now if anything happens to it from now on, the borrower is potter. And the Rabbah Malav Shliach, he appointed Shliach. This is what he's saying. Inish Mehemnuhu, all he's passing a message to the borrower is, I trust this guy, and if you trust him, Samach, Tzmoich, and it's up to you. If you trust him, also fine, trust him, but you should know that you're still responsible until I get the money. That's one way of learning at it. Ibayis, if you want to lose duty, if you want to send him, send him. But I'm not taking a chrayis until I receive the money in my keshen. Giving it to the Shliach, good enough. I appoint the shliach only to tell you that I've talked it to me. He's a reliable person. It's up to you. Tanami galend la mishneh b'metzia hashoyil lesapora. If somebody borrows an ox v'shilcha biyad benoi, and he sent it in the hand of his son biyad avoda, in the hand of his slave biyad shlucha, in the hand of his shliach biyad benoi, or in the hand of his son biyad abiyat v'chol shoyim. Or the borrower sent the shliach to pick it up. The mason died. Potter, the borrower is still not liable yet. He's not a shoyel till he gets in his hand. It says Claude here that the shoyel sent the shliach, and yet we do not consider that we already came to the shoyel's hand.
So neither shliach hayvah nor shliach halacha.
Shliach hayvah is not definitely because the shoyel didn't get it. Why should the shoyel be responsible? But the chiddush here is that even though the shoyel sent a shliach pick up the animal for me, till Kolzman he didn't get it personally in his house. He's not liable. Now let's analyze this. Now you could always argue the shliach was not appointed by Edim. Remember the machleik is when does Rav Chizda say that the shliach has a din? It's only if he appointed with Edim he made a tircha. So heichidami either lo yosebein. Tell me here, there was no Edim. That's why the shliach doesn't really represent him. Minoya din ebazei. How do you know the shliach owes anything? The shliach can deny it. If there's no Edim, then how do we know bechlal that there was a shliach? How do you know that he was a shliach? The guy walks in, says I'm a shliach. How do you know? Why should the shliach even be chayiv? A guy walks and says, I'm a shliach. Does anybody know that you're a shliach? Anybody saw you? Anybody did nothing?
How do you prove it?
Exactly. Yeah, Novos, the Oseb Edim, obviously, we know for a fact that he's a shliach. If it does bring the shliach, why not? Why not? Look, tell the pot, kashu, it seems that the only way that the shliach, the way Rashi says, the only way the shliach will be responsible is if he personally tells the lender, give the animal to my son, give the animal to my shliach. If he told the lender directly, give it to my shliach, then as soon as the shliach gets it, then he takes responsibility. But if he stomps on the shliach, even though he ate him so appointed, it does not have a din like he got it. And for the Gemara, Kedam Rav Chizda, just like Rav Chizda will answer on the other question you asked him, which Gemara we're about to record. That what? Bischirei v'lekit shliach. It doesn't literally mean a shliach. It means somebody who, an employee of yours. And you say, you know what? Why do me a favor, go there. Or lekito, that a guy that, you know, he hangs around you all the time, and it's not mamish doing any work for you. So it's not a proper shliach. That's why he doesn't have a din of a shliach. He's Sorry?
If he's doing the job, he's a
shliach. Yeah, but I didn't appoint you as a shliach with Edim. We're talking about, I said to this guy, this is Chizal. Chizal holds, if I appoint you with Edim, then your mama's my shliach, whatever comes to you is like it came to me. This is the guy who works for me generally, and I say, go get that thing there. Or Likita, he's a guy who collects two of me, or he hangs around me, one of the, yeah, so therefore I say, you know, you should go do me for your lady, go get it for me. Those cases, that's why Rav Chizal Moed is not the thing. We learned in our Mishnah, we learned that Rabbi Kiva says if you want to pay back, if you, it says in our Mishnah that if you want to pay back the Keren and the Chemish, you cannot give it to the son of Rosh Shliach. Lo yitin lo levno lo shlucha, now lo gen lo shlich hekdami. Either lo yosu beidim, that they ate the shlich, I made no yedin, and how do you become of the shlich? The guy walks in, I'm a shlich of the Nignev. How do you know? We have no evidence. El lo yosu beidim, and yet it's called the Mishnah, you shouldn't give it to him. Is a riot to Rabbi Gesar Chizis. This re-answer to Rabbi Chizis, b'schire v'lekite. Is that a proper shlich? Somebody you hired, or somebody that lives next to you, or somebody that you want, that collects it for. How do we get to your Gemara here?
What is on today?
Beautiful. Freddy Gemara, so what are you trying to tell me? Abba Shliach, Shasub Eidim, Yochanam Abba Shliach. You want to tell me a Shliach that was appointed by Eidim? Is Taka valid Shliach? Go to Rav Chizda. Is Adatani safer? Why does it say in the Mishnah, the contrast says, Abel Noisun Hu L'Shliach Bezen, that you can pay back by giving it to Shliach Bezen? Say, Big Yichidish, that even the Shliach of the Nignev, sometimes you could give it back to him and you yates it. If the Nignev would have appointed a Shliach with two Eidim, and that Shliach fronts up to the Gazel, then you can give it to him. So why introduce the Shliach Bezen? Talk about the very Shliach of the Nignev. Sometimes, if there are no Eidim, we will not use the Shliach. If there are Eidim, we will. Lift like the listener bit today, Shliach Shasub Eidim. Hochinami Davi Shliach. So the Gemara, Amri, you know why we don't say it? Because Lepsikule. You'll have to add all these extra words. If you say a Shliach that the Nignev did, you then have to explain. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. If there are Eidim, if it's nominated, it works. If there are no Eidim nominated, it doesn't work. But Shenkin, if I talk to my Shliach Bezen, it always works. Shliach Bezen, Loishna Osa Nigzel. I don't care who appointed the Shliach Bezen, whether the Nigzel appointed him, Loishna Osa Gazel, or whether the Gazel nominated him, either one. Once you paid the Shliach Bezen, you paid. Have a Shliach Psikle. So it's clear. There's no ambiguities and there's no depends. It always works. Mashenkin Shliach Osa Beidim, Mashenkin Shliach Beidim, the Chi Osa Nigzel. And even if you want to tell me a Shliach Beidim, still depends. Who made the Shliach? The Chi also Nigzel. If the Nigzel appointed that Shliach, then as soon as you pay the Shliach, as if you paid the Nigzel, the Abba Shliach. But also Gazan, if the Gazan would have nominated a Shliach, the Gazan would appoint a Shliach with Edim, still, and then the Shliach loses the money, the Gazan has to pay again. Because what does that do with the Nigzel? He says, how do you appoint the Shliach?
I got my money back.
Exactly. Therefore, you couldn't learn it. Because you had to then add all of these extra details, and Mishnayos like to be as brief as possible. Says the Gemara, this Mishnah, that you say, Shliach Bezen, and Nochma is a Chiddush. Our Mishnah that says, Shliach Bezen, I don't care who appointed the Shliach Bezen, whether the Nignev or whether the Ganav, as soon as you pay the money into the Bezen coffers, it's as if you pay back, and you did Tshuva, is lafuke my tana. This is chiddush in our Mishnah, and not everyone agrees. The Tanya and Abshim Belozeroy, Mishnah Belozer says Shliach Bezen Shosu Nigzel, that the Shliach Bezen effective only if the Nigzel appointed the Shliach Bezen of Loy also Gazan. But the Gazan went to the Bezen and said, "Here, take the money." It wouldn't work. Or if the Gazan made it v'sholach halom, the guy sent it. Only when the Nignev took it from the hand of the Shliach Potter, then he Potter. Knows only if the Gazna would have made a Shliach or Shliach Bezen, only once it arrives at the Nigzel's hands do we say that finished, you paid back. But Kol's man, Bezen's holding on to the money and didn't give it to the pass on to Nigzel, it's not Hashavah. Not like our Mishnah that holds, it doesn't matter who asked the Bezen to take the money, whether it was the Nignev who asked the Bezen to stand on his back.
Didn't you say that when he gives it to the Beis Din to return it to the Nigzel, if he's in Modai?
That's right, the Nigzel will come to Bezen and pick it up.
So he's
already done. That's our Mishnah. That's our Mishnah who holds, that's why our Mishnah holds that even the Ganav paid is good enough, because as if he paid by Shengen, then Hashem Allah says no. Hashem Allah holds, if the Nignev asked the Bezen to do it, then Bezen's acting on his behalf. Right. But if the Ganav and the Kol's man, the Nignev didn't get paid, nothing, until the Nignev physically comes and picks up the money.
Could you say that the focus differs between our Mishnah and the Rav Shimon Loza, that one is focusing more on the kapora of the gazlan, and the other one is looking more on the needs of the nignev.
I guess the question is, if the shliach bezin, does he have the? Do we have the power to advocate on behalf of someone they never asked him to?
He's getting his money,
but he's lavdav because now he has to schlep and get it.
If the bezin wouldn't have done it,
the gazlan would be responsible to go send it out there.
Yes, they come to me and deliver it to my front door.
Exactly. Let's continue with this theme about shliach. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar both say shliach she'osu be'edim have shliach. They both say that a shliach that was appointed by edim is a valid shliach.
Says that he has to pay for the shluchos in the loiv and the malva.
Yeah.
So maybe he would have to pay for it to get sent.
It doesn't say anywhere about getting running Geneva.
Geneva is a mitzvah by the heishuv as a gzela.
Yeah.
The Ganav has to return it.
Yes, so the Ganav would have to pay a messenger
on his own expenses. But that's what we're saying. If you hold that he can drop it off at his local base, then you put it in the base in Ballarat. Thank you very much. I have to schlep to Ballarat now to get my thing back. Because he has his kapora, I have to schlep.
It doesn't matter, right? So Bichlal is about say shliach she'osu be'edim, a shliach that was appointed by edim, have a shliach is a valid shliach. If I make a shliach with edim, it's my shliach. We tame Mishnah says, how come Mishnah says that you cannot pay if you pay the shliach, it's not good enough, it's not hashava, even though the nigzel appointed the shliach, not hashava, right? Now if the Mishnah talking about that there were no edim that saw him appoint him, then how do we even know the guy's a shliach? The guy comes and says, I'm the shliach of the nigzel. How can we trust him? Obviously, he was appointed by edim, and yet the Mishnah says, don't give it to him. So Rab Chisda answered, we're talking about Schirei Velikita. It's not a proper shliach. He only works for him generally, or because he collects your tefuah, or he's your neighbor, or he hangs around your house all the time. It's talking about b'mamtzi lo shliach, that where the nignev asked he asked somebody, do me a favor, find me the gazlan, and where the guy says to the guy, do me a favor, find me the gazlan and pick up the money for me. Okay, and so on. Mamtzi lo shliach, where a friend says, I have a shliach for you available. So the omele isli zuzi gabi planya. I have money. Look, you're going. This guy owes me money. You're happening to go for business to that town. But lo kam shadilo, who doesn't want to send me the money. You'll see him. Deal me inu shud like mishkal judebe. Maybe the only reason why he's not sending the money is because he cannot find a reliable person to send money. So you go. So you're not mamish my shliach. So we know that he was sent. Edim might have seen that. But what did they see? They said, I ask you a favor. If you're in town, pick up the money for me. Maybe he doesn't trust anybody else, but he can trust you. But I never said that you should be my shliach, that as soon as the money touches your hand, it's as if I received it. That's why our Mishnah says, don't give it to the shliach. Not Yitzhak Hashav yet. And if the shliach loses the money, too bad. Mashain came for the gazan. Mashain came, where he mamash appointed the shliach, of course it's like the nigger received it. Inami, olak revchize bezchire belekitei. That kind of shliach, not really shliach. Omri gomishmu, ein mishalchin mois bidiyakni. If let's say a mafkid, the kufdal on base on top. If a mafkid gave a pekodin to someone to mine, and then the mafkid sends a shlich, and he sends him a box or a letter, and gets all kinds of signs, and with his signature on it, and he says to him, go and show this to that person so that he can give you the money, the nifkid should not give the money to the shlich. A mishalchim moib di yaitni. Even if Edim were written there, because you know why? Because Kol's man, this shliach, doesn't bring it back to the Baal Pekodin, you, the Nifkid, is responsible. And because you, the Nifkid, is responsible, it's no good. But Rabbi Yechon says, if there were Edim signed there, then you do send it. Then you do send it. As if what? As if the Nignif has already received it. As if the Baal Pekodin, the Mafkid, received it. Amri l'Shmuel. So he said to Shmuel. So Shmuel says, "Don't send it to them." And Shmuel and Rabbi Yechon said, "If there were edim that he gave it to the shliach, he sent him." So he said to Shmuel, "My tekante, if a shliach brings a note, a letter that he was a shliach and he has edim sign it, and you're still not giving it to him, so how in the world is a mafkid ever going to take back his pekodin?" There's a story once. Rab Abba having masik zuzi, but Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. Rab Abba once lent money to Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. That's the famous Rabbi Yosef. Omelele Rab Safra. He said to Rab Safra. So Abba, the lender, said to Rab Safra, look, Bahadi the Osis, you do me a favor. You're going to the town where Rabbi Yosef bar Chama is. When you come, I seen in LA, bring me back the money that he owes me. So when Rav Safra came to the town where Rabbi Yosef was, Amalei Rava Bereis, Rava, the son of Rabbi Yosef said, "Mikasa loch is kabalti. I'm not going to let my father give you the money." Did he say that it's as, the moment he gives you the money, it's as if you received it? Because if not, if you lose the money, my father has to pay a second time. It's not fair. So why should he give it to you? So did he tell you he's kabalti? Amalei loy, no. He said, no. Rav Safra said, Rav Abba didn't say he's kabalti. So Rava said to him, so Zilbere should go first. Go back. Let him write in the note that when you receive the money, it's as if he's Kabalti, I receive the money. As soon as Safra has the money, as if Rabbi Abba has the money. And then it'll be good. Lasaiv later on, Omle said to him, he's going to go home. Even if you come into town with a letter, and the letter said, as soon as we give you the money, he received it, he'll garnish. You know why? What happens if he died in between? What happens if he died after he wrote it and he died before you received it? So when can he skabalti? The moment you receive it, it's his kabalti. But maybe he's dead already, so it's no skabalti. So then it has to go to the Yisaimim. But the Yisaimim will not be considered a payment until they receive it. My father will be responsible to pay a second time if you lose it. Have a garnish often. Lav klumu dilma, perhaps ada osi. By the time you come here, shochi Rab Abi would have passed away. The nafla zuzi come and yask me the money before you say me. And if he's kabalti, Rab Abi lav klumu. He doesn't help for his children just because his father is kabalti, but his father was dead by the time they Rab Safra. Because the money does not transfer to the father until Rab Safra receives the money. But by the time he receives it, maybe the father is dead, and therefore the children are not tied into this particular deal. Even though we're having more gittin, that we're not worried people are going to die. But when it comes to paying money, we take every possible chash. Amalei Rav Safra said to Rav, how in the world can a lender ever get his money back unless he personally fronts up? And if he doesn't, he'll never get paid back. So he said to him, I'll tell you how you do it. Zil nikninu loch agavara. The moment he appoints you a shliach, let him make the money yours. Let him mock to you the money, agav ara, because how do you mock the money somewhere else? So let him give you a piece of land, and we know that kinyan agav metalton is kinyan with kaka. So you will be kinyan. So the money is already yours, of Safra. So when you come to pick it up and he pays you, he paid back the loan. And then if the father's dead, by the time you come home, you give it to the children. The Torah, and then you write to us when we give you the money that you receive the money and that's it. So we're out of the picture and you give it back. If Rabbi Abba's alive, you give it to him. If Rabbi Abba's dead,
so
you give it to him.
You're transferring ownership of that debt
to the Shliach.
Mm-hmm. But you can do that temporarily. The Shliach has to now give it to the.
You have to trust the Shliach that he'll give the money back.
You can't do it all tonight, that it's only valid until you come and give it to me or something.
It's
like
not tonight. That's we have a concept we'll have also. My chosim are to you for 6 months, and afterwards it comes back to me or goes back to the other guy. Same idea.
I'm giving this to you on condition that it comes back to me.
Maybe you can do that as well.
Because otherwise, here he has to, like you said, he has to trust the shliach very strongly. The borrower
wants
trust.
He wants the borrower to trust him. What was the shliach guy do?
The borrower's not trusting
him. But he doesn't have to. There's another guy. You know the guy. You appointed him, and you're not going to trust him, but you want me to trust him.
Excuse me, you trusted me for the $100 you borrowed. You're not going to trust the person I'm sending. It's a bit
dicey.
Whatever, I don't know.
He once lent 12,000 coins. Wow, it's a lot of money. To the people in Bechazoi, Aknin El Rav Shmuel Abba, what he did was he was marketed the money to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, Agav Asifa the base, Agav also the doorway of his house, which is attached to the ground. And it was like Karkadomi, and therefore he was marketing him. Or he did, as Emre called, Agav Asifu, maybe the end of the house, some back room, a closet. He gave him the back room of the house. And to give that, you claim the money. And then he made Mishliach. Ki also, when he came, Nofeg La'ape Atovach. His papa went to meet the Shliach until the city of Tovach. that that was far away, but he was happy that he got his money back. So in other words, he trusted him. But how did he do it? He was machting it to the shliach, the money. This way, the leiver was happy to transfer the money because the leiver paid off straight away, and our papa trusted up from what happened.
And our papa was so happy that as a lender, he finally got his money back. He traveled all the way to Tova.
So everybody's happy. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, but does this say something that what made him so besimcha rabba? He got his money back.
12,000 zuzim is a lot of money.
Oh, I was going to say maybe people weren't in the habit of paying back loans.
Or oh, maybe 12,000 zuzim don't pay back so fast. Then what about Nosan lo yes I can. It says in the Mishnah, if he paid back the keden, you have to schlep all the way to Mudder to pay back. But if he paid back the keden for the chaimish, you don't have to schlep all the way back. So the Mudder is going to analyze this chaimish. Is this chaimish a kapara? You know, when you swear false, I said I never stole from you, whatever it is. I made that I lied. I got to bring a korban oshim, which is obviously a kapara, and I got to pay a penalty of 25%. Is that penalty a kapara also part of the atonement, or is that penalty mammon? It's a penalty like you have to pay over and above because you swore false. That's the most question. Alma, we see from here. And the Mishnah says you don't have to go all the way to the Nigniv to give it to him. And the Imayis, therefore, if he dies, Mishamil Yoshin, you have to pay it to the Yoshin. The fact that you have to keep on paying, if it's a kapara, why have to pay to the Yoshin? It's a raya, that's mammon, it's an outstanding debt, and it's a debt, and you got to pay it to the Yoshin. If the father died.
Why doesn't he have to travel to pay?
Sorry, well, because much smaller amount. The original money you have to pay back. Any penalty part you don't have to pay back.
Yeah, but you're saying he doesn't have to travel.
That's right, that's why. We're not going to be machriach you to travel. Once you pay the keren for the chaimish part alone, you're not going to have to travel all the way there. When the guy comes around town, he'll pick it up. But it's only a penalty, so we're a little easier.
No, the whole lot, you should go to the...
You should, but we're talking about if you paid somehow or another, the guy was moichel you the keren. You say, no, you don't have to worry about it. But I want the penalty. So the penalty, okay, I owe it to you. Come by and pick it up. Now we learn. I mean, nothing as a keren. If you gave the keren, but nishba lachem.
There's
three cases the Mishnah says. One of them is Michael. It goes on all three. Sorry. We'll close this in the morning. Sorry. Shut up. Anyway. Okay. And it's background music. So the Gemara. Sorry.
Neville.
Okay. It says the chulu here. It covers all the cases of the Mishnah. But now let me learn. Nosan as a keren. If he paid the keren, he paid the keren and he owes a chaimish. And then he swore the chaimish I paid you already, which turned out to be true. He pays a chaimish on the chaimish. Had he made a chaimish on the chaimish? You pay a chaimish on the chaimish. Now, if chaimish is a kapara, why would you pay a chaimish on the chaimish? Chaimish is a new neighbor. I'm a chaimish of a minu. As I that the chaimish I owe to this guy, it's like I'm stealing again. And every time you steal, you have to pay again. The time you learn, now me hachi, how goes as chaveda, you saw you steal from your friend, the nish below, and you swore, but Macy died, that if you stole from your friend, and you swore, and then you swore. That, you know, and then you turn out, and then, you know, you swore false. And then you die. Yoshin, Misham, and the Yoshin pick up the tab. They have to pay the keren and the chemish. Now, the potter and the usher. Why are they potter and the usher? Because usher is the kapara, and the person who needs the kapara is gone. So why are they paying the chemish? Is a raya that chemish is not a kapara. Chemish is mammon, yeah. It's mammon. So we have three rayas. And could the rule is en kapara le mesim, as we'll have in the Gemara Hadius and everywhere else. The Yoshim have to pay the chemish of the fathers. Clear raya that what? That chemish is vort mammon.
Don't we have a halacha that if someone sends a carbon and
that's only
the bayrim dies?
That's only we had a conclusion of the Gemara. So only the carbon ready was set aside.
He was
and then we said depends on the raisa, we'll have the raisa. Remember we said? But that's to do because here we're not talking about he set aside the carbon. Here we're not talking about he set aside the carbon. He has a chiyuv
to pay
a carbon, to bring a carbon. He didn't set it aside yet. Because if he would have set it aside, then the animal's already kodesh. If even they don't bring it, they have, you have to let it wander around, contract the womb, and then use it. But I mean, there's a question. I have a question. It says, Asher Gozal. And you, that it says in Pasuk Asher goes, we had enough Samach Zayin. We learned that only if you stole, you have to pay the chaimish, but not if your father's geneva. Adayin Yomei, I would say, Eimasai Einu Mishalom Chaimish Al Gezalavi. When do you say you don't have to pay the fifth for your father's Bizman Shalin Yishba? Only in case you didn't swear, who loved there was no shvur, not you, not your father. Huvla Avi, what about he swore not his father or Avi Lahu, but his father not him, Huva Avi Minayin, or he and his father both swore Minayin, how do you know you pay a chaimish and a chaimish? Tamil Lamed, Asher Gazav, Asher Asak, Vahula Gazav, Vahula Asher, he didn't steal. So if he didn't, if nobody swore, then you don't have to pay. No, I'm talking about if you didn't swear and your father did swear, so then you both stole, but you didn't swear, your father did swear, you don't have to pay. Because it says in the Pasuk, Asher Gozel v'Asher Osek, who le Gozel, even though your father's, you know, and you didn't. If your father was made after he swore, the father was made, then the father had a chiv of a chaimish, then the yoshim have to pay. And kashalah, the father's never made it, the yoshim don't have to pay for the father's shvur, even though he lied. Freddy Gemara, Ila Haida, if the father wasn't made, then keren namid le mishalim, then why should the children pay the keren? Why should the children pay the keren? If you can tell me the children don't have to pay the keren, it says that he has to pay the chaimish. Remember the keren mishalim. Of course you pay the keren. If you're talking about the chaimish, you pay the keren as well. When do you pay the keren for the father's zayla? Bizman shenishbahu v'aviv. Only, another bride says, only if they both swore. Aviv lo hu, ahuv lo aviv lo hu, they didn't swear. Minayin, how do you know? Tamalaymik zayla v'oishik avedo pekotin. Now, wow, that you have to always pay back. So you the keren, you always pay back. If let's say the father wasn't made and the son was made, you always pay back the keren. But the chaimish, you don't pay. You don't pay because we learned Asher Gozel, you don't pay on your father's gzeila the chaimish. The Gemara says yes, Talmud. There's a pasuk that teaches all this. Huna said this whole dinner here about the chaimish. If your father pays the chaimish, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. And Amalei Rabba Brei, yes, Talmud come out or yes, Talmud come out? Didn't hear you clearly. Did you say yes, Talmud? That there's some kind of a pasuk that teaches this? Or yes, Talmud come out? You're saying logic that you have to pay. Amalei yes, Talmud come in. Yes, I said was, I have to be clear. I didn't say yes, Talmud. I said yes, Talmud. There is a pasuk. Umiribuya de kra amre. We learn from the pasuk from Asher Gozel. Elamai loy hoida. What do you mean? It wasn't made. Loy hoida aviv. If the father wasn't made, v'hoida benai. And the father was made, but the son was made. V'nechayiv benai chaimish ashur today. If the father wasn't made and the son was made, why are you telling me the son is potter? Shouldn't he be? Okay, you don't have to pay for your father's. What are you trying to tell me? You don't have to pay for your father's shvur. Fine. But why doesn't he pay for his own shvur? He swore false himself.
And he's made it.
And he's made it. Amri, we're talking about B'she'ein Gzela Kayemis. We're talking about that the father is the one who stole. And then we're talking about the case, the father stole, and the son made a shvur about his father's geneva. It turned out to be a lie. The son not only doesn't have to pay for
his... make a shvur for the father?
He did. He swore that his father never stole.
Why do we allow him to make a shvur? I can't know with certain what someone else did.
Well, let's say he's saying, I know for a fact. My father told me, I know. He's saying, I know.
He accused my father of stealing from a person in Sydney. On that Thursday, he was with me in Melbourne. There's no way that he could have done it.
So you're not making sure he didn't. You're saying you're making sure that he was with me on Thursday.
No, let's say he swore I paid you back. And that was the full shvur. Same thing. So we answer, Misha'en Gzela Kayemis. If the Gzela is still around, we learned before already that you have to give return it because for your father's covet. We're talking about a case where the Gzela is no longer around and the kid has no chiv of paying it back. The kid has no chiv of paying it back, then the shvur that he makes false on that, there's no chiv of chaimish. He made a shvur himself. He did. He did. He said, I paid you back. Talking about Ibishang Zela KM is if the Gzela is not around, the Philokan Namala Mashal, so why should he pay back Ken? You tell him he pays the Ken and not the Chemish. If the Gzela is not around, he doesn't have to pay. The only time the son is paying is because every time somebody sees the Gzela, remember, every time they see the cow, they say, oh, this is the uncle's cow, what's he doing by Shmetal? So there is that covenant of the father. But there's no neighbor there, he doesn't pay back his father's thing, so why is that? Like Zicha, the Ika Chrayes. We're talking about that if the father left them property, stolen property, they have to return that. If it's a milvapehi, it's a milvapehi, even the father left behind property, since gizela is like a milvapehi, there's no contractual loan, and the kids don't have to pay the father's loans. The father went to court, and the court already ruled. And once Bezin ruled that he owes the money, it's like a milva b'shtar. And therefore, this property, the kid has to pay back. So he paid Keren, but then if he swore about it that I paid you already, and he was Maida, he don't have to pay the Chaymish, because it's not his Geneva. We learned Rashi Gazal only on his own Geneva, if it's tagged to his Geneva. Here he didn't steal it. But he might have why if Shama Bedin, if there was an Amma Bedin, so now they owe the money. Is that for the Chemish Nami Mishalim? Lechede, if the Amma Bedin, so they have the Chiv. So it's like he's stealing it now. Forget about his father stealing. It's like it's now his Chiv, and he swore false about it. I paid you back, Rayla Moshel. So then, forget this. It's no longer his father's Chiv that he's swearing about. He's swearing about his own Chiv. So why should he pay the Chemish? We have a rule: you don't pay a chaimish on denying karka. You don't swear on karka. Since you don't swear on karka, if you made a wrong shvu on karka, you don't have to pay because there's no shvu on karka. Okay.